Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to my very first premiere live show called Taking the Pulse of Today's Energies. This is going to be a really exciting show. I think we're going to do it maybe twice a month now. And when we talk about taking the pulse of today's energies, I say, what really is that all about? Have you noticed how life has been changing these days? There's so much going on. We're hearing a lot of ascension, awakening, soul journey. We're saying the old ways, the new ways, we have to do something differently. What I've been doing doesn't work anymore. What do we do now? What we're talking about today is when we're taking the pulse of today's energies is what are we feeling today? How are we connecting with each other? How are we feeling, oh, I just feel so much chaos in my life. Something is wrong. Someone is really pushing my buttons. Or, oh, gosh, if I could just push a button and get to the next life, push a button and get to the next vibrational level, push the button and just figure out a solution, a fix, a way to be in this world. I'm not sure all of these things we're going to be talking about today that will have a solution or an answer that you might be seeking, but really it's truly about the journey of awareness, asking the questions, opening up your mind and saying, you know, I never thought of it that way. Perhaps. Is there a potential? Is there something else out there? What else might we think about and say, I don't really know. It doesn't work for me today. I'll maybe listen to this and say, you know what? It doesn't work for me either. But next week, next month, next year, something might say, oh, you know what? That might be a little bit easier. I think I'll try that. That's the purpose of these shows. It's truly about opening us up, bringing us into a sense of awareness to be able to observe the life around us. Today, my guest is Robert Lomax. He is from England. He is an author and channeler, and he is my co-host, side writer today. And what we're going to be talking about is how to be able to navigate the world. How can we find these energy fluctuations? How do we feel in our body? And really, what's going on? So Robert has a really good pulse on that also. Robert, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for inviting me on the show, and good afternoon or good evening, depending on where in the world you're listening.
Absolutely, since you're from England, and, you know, I'm here in New Orleans, it's Mardi Gras weekend, and we say, you know, this is a very global show. This is truly everyone around the earth is experiencing the changes these days, don't you think?
Yes, and some people probably are not aware that they're going through a change or experiencing these energies.
Yeah, I think that sometimes we say, what are the energies all about? You know, we think about it, Robert, and we say, is an energy something that, oh, hey, I plug in my stove, I plug in my cell phone to charge it, that's energy. My body has nothing to do with it. So what do you really think people are starting to understand?
I think a lot of people are talking about waking up, and I think waking up means something different for everyone. I think a lot of people are realizing that this world just does not fit the idea of what the world should be, and it's a realization of that. And following that on, the perception of this world in terms of energetic resonances, thoughts, comes alive. So I think people can then see that these energies are thoughts and information as well.
Yeah, I think that sometimes when people say, I'm not really kind of like clued into the spiritual community. I don't have a guru, you know. I really haven't gotten down to this meditation kind of thing that everybody seems to be doing these days. Yet they still have a sense of something different. And I think the sense of something different is what is so vitally important. Because once you have a sense of something different, that now brings you on what we call the seeker's journey, the spiritual path. And you start to understand that it's not just about this human existence. You know, it's not, even as we look back into the, you know, the 1990s, you know, we were pretty much set up. You have a house, you have a couple of jobs, you might have a, you know, a few cars in your driveway, and everybody was looking for all of these other things out there, and they were just collecting material goods, thinking that was life. Don't you think that there's been a great shift, you know, all the way up till now, 2020?
Indeed. And perhaps the excesses showing that they have no reward to us have been beneficial in that way, because it just shows us that stuff, as it's called, is, whilst it's nice, it's meaningless to us in our hearts and our happiness. It can't give us who we are. We can only allow ourselves to be who we are.
Yeah, it's really different because we had so many excesses, and all of a sudden, you know, the banks and the housing market and all these other things started to shift. And people said, oh, we have to do something differently. So I think it's almost, if we are talking about awareness, we're saying, let's look at what's going on out in the, I guess, society, you know, with the place you live, the country that you're living in, what's going on in it? Is it shape-shifting? Is it changing? And once you come into that awareness, is not that what we're talking about? So sort of like, how can you find the signs in the world around you, right?
Yeah, I think people see perhaps a greater difference between the, not necessarily the excesses, but if things are improving in some areas, perhaps the distance between what was unpalatable before gets greater. So that which is unpalatable seems even more so, because the variations in energy and vibration of what exists here are so great, so divergent.
Right. And that was key, what you just said. Really, we're seeing the signs in the out world, and we're kind of like giving a name to it. But it's truly, when we give it a name, we can start feeling its vibration. Does it feel good if I'm starting to clean up my house? Does it feel wrong if I keep bringing things into the home and I'm not clearing things out? Does it feel like I'm smothering? Does it feel like I can't get out of my own way? And then we start to find ways to clear. We have the whole detox thing, you know, from the past 5 years. You know, how much can you detox? What are you drinking? What are you eating? You know, let's detox, detox. So in a sense, we're starting to get it that we understand we're clearing out our homes, we're clearing out our bodies. What we're talking about today going forward, Robert, is about how can we choose to do that with our minds, our thoughts, and our consciousness, yes?
Indeed. And some people, once they realize that that's a possibility, they perhaps look for different tools and techniques. But in a way, it can be quite confusing to people starting out on that journey. And really, it comes back to trusting the self. And in a way, it kind of reminds me of Jimmy Cricket sitting on Pinocchio's shoulder, offering him words of wisdom. There is within us what I would call a quiet voice. And if we listen to it, we can hear it talk back to us. Now, that might sound as though it's rather psychotic, but it isn't. If we monitor our own thoughts, we can see what's going through our head, and we could say, oh, well, I want to go to the shops today. What should I buy down there? No, I shan't. No, should I? Or should I pick my wife up on the way? And you get these thoughts going through. They're our own thoughts that we can listen to. And we have this part of our heart, our consciousness, our higher awareness that exists inside us, giving us information. a lot of people don't think that they have spirit guides, but they do. What they're hearing is they're hearing their spirit guides through their own thought processing. So it's just being aware of that quiet voice, the one that says, oh, perhaps there's a more helpful way of doing this. Or, oh, I'm going to do this. It's going to cause problems. So how can I do it differently rather than doing it better or worse? So I think if people see that they have the power within them, once they start to listen to the quiet voice within inside, it's going to empower them themselves.
You know, a lot of times people don't know what the trust is all about. And truly that's what we're talking about too, is trust of what does come up in your mind. Because we've gotten so conditioned to, I would say, farming our mind out to our therapist, farming out our soul, you know, to religion, and farming out our body to physicians, that we really truly don't even know how that dialogue can occur. So I think sometimes when we seem to say, well, listen to your truth, and you're going, I don't know what truth is. I don't know what I'm supposed to listen to, you know. And then they turn around and, you know, they need to find someone to validate it for them. You know, we see that with social media now, and I think social media has a great purpose. Right now it's showing us that we are trying to learn how to trust. We are trying to learn how to listen and think for ourselves and have some different ideas, but we're still on the point of being validated because we're afraid of what does come up in our minds. Don't you think that perhaps over time even that will wane because we will start to learn trust?
I think so. In a way, what you've just talked about is the fact that as humanity as such, we've given away our responsibility to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Responsibility for some people feels like a burden, but actually it's not. If we look at the responsibility that we have for our energy and the way that we think, it can actually be quite gentle. But I do agree. I think people are beginning to see the impact that we can have without divesting our self-worth elsewhere by needing approbation for a start or being told what to do. But it does then come back to your point about what can we trust that goes on within our mind, because we do also have doubts that come in, and we can sometimes get to a position where we've got so many different possibilities that we're actually using doubt as a means by which to perhaps decide a way forward, or looking through doubt at the information.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Yeah, well, I think also, too, is that don't you think it's sometimes like a paradigm line? In other words, we see things like with fear and love. One's on one end, one's on the other, and we seem to bounce between the two. We really want love, but we're in fear of it, so we're stuck on the fear side, you know. We're really in love and unconditional. We don't fear everything. We're okay. So it's very similar when we have a new thought come up. We say, how can we validate that? But if you look back, hasn't humanity over the past several, maybe decades, people were always clamoring to be like someone else? Because that showed them, oh, remember, you know, like if you got included in a group or a clique, you were like them, so you were, quote, good, you know, and accepted. And now we're turning and flipping the coin and saying we want you to be unique, uniquely yourself, find your own truth. And all of a sudden people are saying, you mean I have to stand alone? Do you think maybe the idea, I think, sometimes of alone really has people freaked out, and they're saying, you know, I just learned how to be able to join a group, you know, join the all these other people and be able to follow them and do what they do and kind of be like, and now I have to be myself? Oh my gosh, that's like, you just want to run away. You want to run as fast as you can because you don't even know what that is, and that starts to bring up a whole other ball of stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah. What to run away from? I mean, fear is a very powerful very powerful thought. It can even stop mm-hmm. you in your tracks and stop you from
right.
thinking. But this, you say, there's a degree of something new, being a different person. How do you define yourself, reinvent yourself? But it's not really reinventing. It's just allowing yourself to be you and not somebody else's definition of you.
Right.
And feelings can be a bit confusing as well. Often we can feel one feeling through another feeling. I've seen it that if, say, for example, if you had a pair of spectacles and you wrote fear on your spectacles and you put your spectacles back on, if you looked at a rose, you would, instead of seeing the beauty, you would see the thorns and be afraid of being mm-hmm. pricked. But as soon as you take fear away, so there's, feelings can be confusing sometimes. So sadness, for example, in bereavement, you can be afraid of sadness. But actually, when you're just sad, there's no fear. You are wrapped up in that moment of complete sorrow and with other feelings as well. But you're not afraid of being sad anymore. You just are. So feelings can be quite confusing to us at times.
Yeah, I think the idea is sometimes when we look at it and we say, now that we are going to learn to trust ourselves and be unique and to be able to stand alone and let go of some things, what ends up happening is we feel like our identity is wrapped up in that. A lot of times our identity is, you know, all of these letters behind our name, all of the legacy things that we do, that we put in an obituary, all the things that we hold out, like when people say, well, who are you? And you're going, quack, 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 you know, and that's who you are. When in essence, all of that is just the stuff that you've done. Those are the experiences that you've walked through. It truly is not your truth. It's not your authentic self. It is not the you. Yet we've come to be able to believe that that is the truth. So now we're saying, well, now you want my truth to go away? Wow. What about that? Because you know what, Robert? When people say, is my identity equal to my truth? Have I locked that in so hard that I can't see anything differently? That's a super place where people are like going, put your hands up and going, I give up, I surrender, right?
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. Perhaps it can sit alongside the identity. But if we allow that identity to lose its power over us or our meaning to other people, it's again, it's about validation. And yet the sense of self-worth can also come from the inside. It's something that might feel intangible.
Right.
I've got the right pronunciation.
Yeah.
But it's there. It's just pulling back the curtains and finding this other self without perhaps losing who we are to other people. It's an additional thing. And then it takes perhaps not the sting away from losing our identity, but the importance. And what then becomes more important is love and what we do with our energy, what we do with it in the moment.
Robert, about feeling energy. When we say we feel energy, many times people will say, I don't really know what you're talking about. And I liken it to, let's take a little journey and you say, we're going to go up on stage and have something to say, and all of a sudden we feel scared or everything. We say, ooh, that's energy, a frequency inside of you. Okay, got that. Then we say, let's go, and you're getting married that day, and you can feel love that day. So we've got fear, we've got love. We can feel the senses of the emotions. Then we look at someone has died, and we say, oh, that's sadness and grief, and we feel that emotion. Really what we're talking about is they each have a different frequency, they each have a different vibration, and they're each coming from inside of us. That's the connection we're looking for versus all of the other story that we've created around it. So when we talk about taking the pulse on today's energies is, where are you today? Are you feeling sad? Are you feeling happy? Are you feeling pushed? Is there something in your body that's hurting? Is it you have an engagement with someone and you're just feeling, oh, I just can feel their energy? Don't you think all of these are starting to show up for people in conversation, yes?
I think by naming it, it also changes it as well. I think people have always been aware, but perhaps they haven't been aware that they're aware, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like it's in the unconscious or it's within the subconscious, but perhaps hadn't been given much relevance before. And once you start looking, you start seeing.
Yeah, but I think sometimes when people say, but I'm sad because they died, blah, 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 and still keep going, it's still diverting from the feeling in its intensity. In other words, it kind of loses its oomph to be able to process the emotion, and what it does is it ends up locking it in so you can keep on dragging it with you, you know?
Yeah, and again, I think that's also to do with fears of certain feelings and what those feelings do to you. And if you embrace them, they're not always what you feel them or fear them to be. But they are our energy. They are our thoughts and emotions. We can't cut them aside. And as you say, if we block them or we pretend they're not there, sooner or later, they're going to surface somewhere else.
Yeah, and you know, I think sometimes even when we get on the other side of it, we look back at it and we say, I had fear of sadness. That's why I felt that way, or I reacted that way, or that's how I acted out. I have fear of love. That's why I did different things. I was jealous. I was captivating. I was possessive, or I was abusive. So I think sometimes when we use the word fear of an emotion, we can see how we've created a world around it. And once we do that, and it's like, whoa, all of a sudden you go, oh, I never realized that. And then the really work starts to begin in how can we process our energy, how can we process our emotions, and how can we potentially move forward? Yes?
Yes, absolutely. I think the first step is what we've just talked about and you've explained eloquently is allowing them in their fullness and learning not to be afraid of our feelings and not to be afraid of fear either.
Right.
And we can misuse feelings. We can say that doubt is good because it asks a question before we undertake an operation or do something. But if we're using doubt in that way, we've got doubt omnipresent within us. Whereas if we're using our heart to see forward or to see the choices, we begin to change our energy and experience things in a different way. And I know we said earlier, it's probably going to undo it, that we are experiencing things and the experience isn't necessarily the definition of who we are. But nonetheless, we still have a choice what energies to emit and what energies to live within.
But don't you think also too, Robert, that to fully experience sadness, let's take that for a moment, or grief. I mean, if you need to cry, if you need to wail, if you need to have it to yourself and have it as an ownership in the moment, to have it until you can experience and feel it, every bit of it, then you turn around and say, okay, I'm done with your sadness, now I can let you go, and I have no fear of you coming back because I've already experienced it, and now you're okay and you move on. I think sometimes when people say, you know, I have no fear of cancer, I've already been there, you know, and then they get it, they have cancer for the second time or the third time. It's not really the fear of cancer that they're talking about. Perhaps the fear of death is what they're denying.
Yeah. I think it's allowing these feelings in. Seeing that they are an experience. When we feel hot water pouring on our hands, we don't then say, I'm feeling hot, therefore I am hot.
Right.
It's we kind of allow our feelings to do to us. We're not necessarily taking responsibility for them, but we're not seeing them as sensors, as perceptors, and we are the ones that have this information coming into us, and it's up to us what we do with it, albeit we don't always know what to do with it, which is some of the problem.
You know, we talk about the dark night of the soul on the show sometimes, and we say, what really is it? And I say, it's just all of a sudden, everything that you pass through, all of your experiences, they're playing as a movie trailer, and all of a sudden, you just got your finger on warp speed, and it's just like purging like in nobody's business. And once it starts to purge, it ends up as this big mass of energy in front of you, and you're like, but I don't know. But what next? But what do I do? And I think when you get there, it's sort of like, wow, can we just get it out of me? And then you end up finally, how can you get rid of this? How can you get rid of this to get, quote, better, to get into the light, to get it out of the darkness? And it's sometimes that running of wanting to fix or solutionize it that ends up shortchanging our dark night of the soul, our time when we say life is different and I can't do it the old way. That's just, you've given up. You know, you said, you see people quitting jobs, leaving their relationships, turning around, moving to another country, or saying, you know, dyeing your hair purple and wearing flip-flops in the snow. Do you know what I mean? In other words, you're just taking yourself and saying, whatever was is no more. And now, what do I do? Once we get to that point, I think a lot of people are super scared, don't you think, Robert? And they say, this is just not working out. And we see them potentially going to addictions. We see them to prescription medications, or perhaps finding, you know, a guru to put in their back pocket to be able to walk them every day so that they can still breathe. Isn't that something that a lot of people have gone through already? But I can honestly say on this radio show is that there's millions and millions more who have not been there yet, right?
Indeed. You can think of that, I suppose, as a subconscious program or as a universal consciousness program, which is about responsibility, which says that, you know, it's easier not to, to attend to these things. It's easier for other people to take responsibility for you. And that reminded me of the Buddhists walking the middle way, and I saw it as a like a curved path with boulders either side. I know we've spoken on this once before. Some people avoid a problem and they walk what they call the middle path, but it isn't actually the middle path, it's the path of avoidance. And rather than looking at these boulders of fear and rolling them over to see what's underneath them, it's just a way of threading through and moving forward. But responsibility can be gentle. Once we learn that we can be responsible, I think it's too easy to give our responsibility away.
Yeah, you know, I've done this in the past many decades ago, and it was like I was really at a potentially tipping point, and I really had a lot of fear about a lot of things going on, and I'm sure that was the beginning of my own awakening time. And it was, I would sit down and I would say, you know what, I just don't know. I don't have any answers. And now when I speak to others and they say, well, they feel the same, I'll say, okay. Put a cup and saucer next to you at the kitchen table and say, okay, fear, let's sit down and have a talk, you know, and let your mind and your thoughts open up. Take out a piece of paper, walk through whatever's coming up for you, and let your unconscious mind find a way to filter through so you can start hearing it versus saying, I've got all of these things I need to write down. So it's totally different than people would say journaling. Journaling is, you know, oh, he did this, she did that, why did they do that kind of idea, because you want to get an answer out of it and put the puzzle pieces together. Really, when we dialogue with the unconscious mind, it's about just putting down a feeling, a sense, a knowing. It could be fragmented words. It could be an entire dialogue with fear. You know, fear could say, you know, well, I'm really annoyed. And you could say, well, what are you annoyed about? And, you know, and kind of see where, in other words, ask the questions back and forth in your thoughts. That's when we start to dialogue with our inner self, yes?
Yeah, and that's getting in touch with the quiet space or the quiet voice inside, because that quiet voice encompasses lots of different levels of consciousness. And
right,
however we define it, we talk, you know, you're talking about questions and trying to find the answers, and it reminds me of some of my earlier days with my guides, where I would ask a question and they would come back with the response, it's a very interesting question, but what we really need to look at is the reason why you asked that question, not the question itself. So they then
right,
take you to the sponsoring thought behind the question. So I think sometimes it's difficult to find an answer to a question unless we perhaps look at the sponsoring thoughts behind the question.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for many years, you know, in my conversations with them. I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, there's books and books and books and books written about it. I even had one guest on the show. I mean, it was like a 600-page book. He had a dialogue with his thoughts, you know, and it was incredible, some of the stuff that came out. And it's just, I think, being able to be free to do that and to be able to open up into that. That's really what we're talking about, yes?
It is. And when you talk to people getting to the space where they're not quite sure what to do next, and perhaps reaching
right,
for drugs or drink. And a lot of these can be programs within our subconscious that we can change the program. So fear of loss, you mentioned earlier. We look at hope for things to get better. Now, the trouble with hope for things to get better is sometimes hope can be smashed or taken away. And so the thought process is, well, there's nothing worse than things getting worse. So they might as well be at the bottom of the pit. You know, if I stay here at the bottom of the pit, things can't get any worse. But if I hope
right,
for them to get better, I might fall back down again. So I don't want hope because it gives me pain, because I then fear that I'm going to feel worse again. So we've got a thought which says, I don't want to feel worse than I am. And the only
yeah,
form of safety in that is to be depressed at the bottom of a pit.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's so funny when you just said that. Truly, do you know what the really openness, awareness is about? It's like, oh, so I'm learning to jump. I never knew how to jump before. You know, we jump into hope, we slide back down. We learn how to jump again, we learn to slide back down. I think sometimes if we take a lightness to the path and say, I don't know what's out there, I might have hope for this moment. And, you know, and then just as you said, do you slide back into depression and say, but it's not the same space you slide into, because energy is constantly moving. You can't end up in the same place you were. It's already moved on. So
yeah,
if we can understand that hope and depression are never stable and the same, they might be similar, but they are not the same, doesn't that key right there say, ah, okay, then I don't have to worry about going back there or taking the wrong turn or shame and guilt because I, quote, made a mistake. Because you can't ever get back.
The perfect thing about us is that we're imperfect. And if we were not imperfect, we wouldn't learn anything at all. Well, we certainly wouldn't be here. So it's about definitions again, how we define and judge what we're doing. I think And again, what you're saying is that these are experiences, as I've said, like senses, and learning to take responsibility for them and seeing that it's something that we can do gently. If we say, that's okay, we be kind to ourselves.
Right.
Don't judge ourselves. And say, well, maybe I could do it differently another time. Not better, perhaps differently.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're just an imperfection, which is perfectly experiencing different things. And in any event, how do you define perfection? What is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's elusive. It doesn't actually exist. Not in the way that we perceive it in a utopian sense.
Yeah, I think the idea of perfection was something that we were trying to attain when we believed it was, quote, out there. And now if we're on the journey of inside, perfection doesn't work. Because energy, you know, we look at the scientific laws of energy. It's never the same. It's always in constant motion. It's created and recreated, you know, all the time. So if we're looking at all of those scientific laws, and understanding that, then we can like let go of some of these ingrained thoughts that we're kind of holding on to. I think the ingrained thoughts are, I almost liken it to, I always have said that I really think the kindergarten kids need to learn quantum physics, you know, and chemistry, you know, and skip the history. Because history, we're trying to ingrain ourselves in the past to live our present and to be able to project our future. When really, if we think about energy, can you tell where it's been yesterday or gone tomorrow? No. You can't. There is nothing to tell. And we have to make that really logical shift in our consciousness to be able to, quote, so I guess you could say get on the bandwagon, right?
Yeah. Again, that's about where the energy is put. I would probably use the word database rather than history, and we are creating from our existing database with inside us our experiences, our flaws, our successes, our judgments, all of that combined in one big database, and we're using the energy in each moment to create something different, but we're creating it from our judgments, from our existing data and history, whereas with love we could actually look forward or just see what presents itself as an idea. It's a slightly different way of thinking, perhaps.
Correct.
But it's one that's quite easy to get the hang of once you don't need to beat yourself up anymore.
Right, and you know what I think is absolutely extraordinarily exciting is that once you get to the other side, there's no coming back. You can't. Something in your brain says, there's no way I could ever do that again. It's just totally impossible. That doesn't even show up for me. It's sort of like, you know, women are saying, I used to wear high heels because it made me feel feminine, because that was important, and then I looked like I had it all together. Now women are saying, are you kidding? I don't even buy them anymore. I don't even know what they look like. Don't even think about it. You know, so their idea of their sense of power or their truth or their self starts to arise a little bit more. And once that happens, it's sort of like you can't go back.
Yeah, and it's, in a way, it's a bit like a program in the subconscious that's been de-energized. It's as if it's on a different timeline, as if it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. It's well... Did I even do that? Did I even wear my heels?
I know. It's sort of like all of a sudden your memory bank went down the toilet and you don't even know where you were.
Because as you say, the energy is being recreated afresh in the moment. So it doesn't need to reflect the past or the database.
Yeah, definitely. And that's so interesting, too. Let's talk about that for a second. A lot of people are saying, well, I'm not remembering things. I don't know. I'm kind of, you know, living in the moment, so to speak. And they're kind of getting a little bit frantic because they can't remember what they had for breakfast or what they did yesterday or the list that they have to do for next week. When really, in essence, That's still trying to drag part of the old program into the present, and that too will drift away. But just to be able to say, just breathe, it's all going to be well, that isn't important. Do you need to know what you did yesterday? Do you need to know all of that? And really, I think we've gotten into the fear part is that, oh, well, there must be something wrong with me. There must be something wrong with my mind or my body, and things are going to break, and I have to hurry up and fix it again. I think that's definitely where we get stuck, and we say, what now, yes?
Yeah, and again, we're using the word fear, or we possibly doubt right. about the future. What we could say is we could say, well, let's trust. Now that's a nice positive thing to say,
mm-hmm.
but trust is attached to fear. If we need to trust, we automatically have fear with us. And there
yeah.
is a state of going forward in the heart where you actually don't even trust. You actually go
mm-hmm.
beyond trusting, and it just is.
Yeah.
And that, as a state of being, I don't achieve it very often, I have to say, as a state of being is
that's true.
Luxurious.
Mm-hmm. But that's important for us to point out too, Robert, is that what we're talking about today, taking the pulse on today's energies right now in this moment, is what we're talking about. We're not talking about how it was this morning or next week, and you have to get everything we're saying and you have to put it in your pocket and you have to live by it as dogma. You don't need to write everything down that we're saying so that you can find the answers. What we're saying is, hey, just feel good for right now. Just breathe in, breathe out. Look up
yeah.
at the sun. Isn't it really cool? Oh my gosh, take off those shoes. They're such a pain, you know? And maybe sit down and peel an orange for a day. Those things is what we're talking about, is being able to just drift out and let all of that stuff fall away. Once some of that stuff starts to fall away, you want to capture that moment every day. We're not always living in it. We're still stuck in the human existence, right?
In this way that we experience it, we take the experience
mm-hmm.
and we do something with it. As children, or as a child, I remember laying on a grassy bank, just watching the clouds form, different animals, faces, and objects. And I could be lost for hours just cloud
yeah.
gazing. And yet, as we grow older, those thought processes get roughed away with sandpaper and life, and we lose that, not a childlike innocence, we lose that...
Yeah.
love of self and just being, as you say. You don't have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Often people use the expression human doings. I'm sure you've heard that before. And we're told
right.
that we're human beings. And that's kind of stuck with me, I suppose, for many years.
You know what I think so, too, when you said that, is that I always was outside looking at the clouds. I can tell you many markers of my life where I would be laying in the grass just watching the clouds go by. And I still do it now in my 60s. I've got even Apple. They sent me an email the other day that says, oh, your storage is too full. You have to go to 200 gigs now for your phone because you have that many pictures almost. And I'm going, whoa. And I watch the clouds. And even today, I didn't know. I said, oh, I think I'll go outside and take a picture of the sun. I go outside and click about 10 pictures of the sun in the clouds, come back in and sit down and look at them. And there's an angel in the clouds. And I went, oh, okay, you just wanted me to see you. And it shifts your energy immediately. Wherever you were thinking about, whatever was bothering you, it drifts off and you go, oh, isn't that cool? And that moment is the capturing moment that we're talking about. That is your energy focus for today. Find
yeah.
something different. Take a picture of the rocks in the cement. Take a picture, you know, of some of the dirt close up with your phone and see all the different colors. Take a picture of a tree and see how many faces you can see in it. Isn't it about being able to not have to say, I have to get this job, I have to get that money, I have to turn this into the bank, I have to go there, and I got to do it all by 2 o'clock. You know, that kind of idea. Yes?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the I have to, the pressure that we put ourselves in order to achieve, because the definition of us is about what we achieve. And what we're doing looking at clouds is we're certainly not achieving anything other than residing in the joyfulness of our own energy. So is that not a better achievement? But again, so much I have to, fear-based. And then often people might use the word, well, I'm a little bit anxious. And they disregard the fact that anxious is a polite word for fear. And it's one way of accepting it and ignoring it and saying, oh, I'm just a bit anxious.
Well, I think sometimes when you feel that, like, ooh, that anxiety, in other words, we think of it, we give it nice names. It's butterflies in your stomach. It's, you're getting excited or whatever. All we want to say is just feel it. What is it? Sometimes it can actually be an energy vibration that you're starting to notice, and maybe if you keep collecting them and feeling them, you can start shifting them higher. Because you won't be stuck in, ooh, now I know what lower energy feels like. So are we not learning the difference between high and low energy? Maybe we want to continuously feel, ooh, a little bit of excitement for the day, a little bit of for the day, versus, you know, you feel heavy and weighted down. That's a lower vibrational energy, yes?
Yes. But again, providing that we're not manipulating or we're having our subconscious dictate to us, because if we're in pain or anguish, then when we escape pain or anguish or when it ends, we can say that we have a joy in escaping or removing ourselves from anguish. But that's not joy, that's escape from anguish. And what we're talking about, this other energies, these other ways of being, is to be in that moment, to be in yourself without needing to manipulate the energies to have them. As I say, escape from angst is just that. It's not joy. It's our perception of the relief from it. And this subconscious program will say, it's good to be released from angst. Well, what if we don't need to hold to angst in the first place? But it's the simplicity coming back down to the childlike way of being. It doesn't mean that we're not responsible humans. We're not capable of functioning or doing things. It's just a different energy and a different state.
So, Robert, what have you been feeling like in the past week or so with the energies? I know for myself I've been noticing this human energies, and they had another blackout spot, which a lot of people seem to not have, quote, a scientific answer. And there's a lot of people kind of tossing their head in, oh, this is what it is. I know what it is. I'm an expert. When in essence, it really just feels like a reset. You know, Schumann energies are the gamma, the rays, the energies between the inner part of the Earth as they compare with the ionosphere. It's that resonance in between. So, and that's really where we exist. So if we're seeing that the energies are going higher, sometimes people feel agitated unless they're in a higher state already. Sometimes when they're lower, we have people saying that, I don't feel good, I'm just not feeling right. They might be a high vibrational person, they're feeling pressure, pulled down. And when we see these blackout times is when it needs a reset, and everybody's kind of going, oh, we're feeling like we're in the abyss. Have you had any sense of feeling Earth's energies and those when you go outside and noticing the shifts or the changes in them?
Yes, that what I suppose I've noticed more than anything is there seem to be certain avenues in my mind that are no longer accessible. It's like the gates that there were on hinges, you know, that the gates don't even exist anymore. Those pathways to travel down mentally just are not there. So I think there's a lot of energy being reset, a lot of ways of thinking being reset. And we mustn't forget that we are higher dimensional beings. We're multidimensional. And there are aspects of us at work in other dimensions. And there are other higher dimensional beings helping with the energies and the transformations around Earth at this time. So it's a really very exciting time in which to be in. If we look at it in the way, not necessarily the childlike way, but if we look at it in this open way without judging it in a positive manner, we see the changes through that framework rather than seeing it through anything else. But yeah, definitely there's certainly been some changes this week.
Yeah. And also, too, Robert, you had some insight into what you felt you had heard through some of your channeling experiences about coming up for the end of February. And what would you like to share with that?
Yes, I think, I don't know if other people can take on board that when we talk about higher dimensional beings, higher levels of soul and our multidimensionality, that this encompasses other humanoid forms as well at work in our universe with us. And some of those are technically highly advanced, and they can enhance some of these energies with technology. But this is all being done with our higher selves, with our acknowledgement. And one of these energies that they talked about was ending the idea of escaping or running away, and releasing some ideas of the need to hold on to existing programs, existing energy. And I think that's what I'm perceiving with these gates, that pathways that just don't exist anymore. It's like a new playing field. Not restricted, but just not weaving off down a sideline.
Yeah. You know, so many times people speak about the shift. We've been seeing that, you know, on the internet for about the past, what, maybe 5 years. And if you truly look at it, we have already been in the process of the shift. It's not a click your fingers and it's going to happen. We've already been within it. And many people now, if you look at it, it's sort of like if you would maybe about, I'd say, maybe the year 2000, 2001, you'd go into a room and, you know, collectively you would all have something to talk about and it'd all be probably similar kinds of conversations. But probably now if you went into a room, I think everybody would be so diverse and have such a diverse conversation if they just spoke their thoughts that you would go, wow, ooh. We must be someplace else already. And what that is that everyone is in their own level of their own shift, right?
Yes. Again, it's being able to say those words or say what we want to do. And it's interesting now, monitoring what I have just said. I was preempting talking about aliens. And I put it in a terminology and introduced it in such a way so that it would become more acceptable.
Right, right.
And it would be perhaps not better, because that's the wrong word. It would be grand if we could just say what it was that we thought without having to put these precursors in place.
Right. Yeah, I think we hold so much judgment still, because we're still in this plane. I don't think we're probably going to come to a point where we will totally lose that. However, we will be able to learn how to dance between it. And that's what we're doing today, is dancing between it, you know? Know what we can say, know what we can't say, know how we can walk around things so other people can hear or respond or receive it. And that's truly what we're talking about, because I think if we walked around and said maybe sometimes what's come out of our channel minds, we're going, oh, my goodness, even we have to step back sometimes and say, let's let that sit for a little while, right?
Absolutely. It's like you might be able to see two footsteps ahead of you, and you might be able to talk about that second footstep, But you can't talk about it if the person who's walking with you can only see one footstep in front.
Right.
So that the energies are, I suppose, related to what people talk about. But then again, we all meet people that we need to meet and have conversations that we need to have. And you just suddenly find that you're with someone who understands and you can really open up, or you can allow them to open up to you. So it, just getting beyond that fear and knowing when those triggers come up, when someone inquires or makes a certain comment, you think, yes, they know. They know. I can have a conversation.
Right, because that's how you and I started to talk when you were a guest on my show and you were sharing about your recent book is truly about when we were able to go back and forth and it was like yin and yang. You were kind of like, when you can bounce back and forth in that conversation, wow, all whole, you know, all of, you're just so free and you're able to say whatever comes up and you're almost like playing a dance, a ping pong, because it's already in a certain plane of existence or a certain plane of conversation where there's already some unconscious understanding that whatever is said will be received, don't you think?
Absolutely, and this is where our higher selves are involved, where timelines that we've created through the energy, which is what you talked about, the energy reformatting itself, reformats the timelines in every single moment to take us where we want to go, where the energy takes us. So we can, again, we can perhaps exceed the need to trust our higher selves and just know that it's there. It just is. In fact, that's
let's
what the Andromedans...
Let's talk for a second. Yeah, let's talk for a second, Robert,
what the Andromedans talk about. They talk about
the Andromedans, yes, that's what I want to talk about. How the Andromedans have been speaking with you, and also, too, about wayshowers. There were the ones that are leaders, there were the star seeds, or we're the ones who are in this higher vibration panel, and what are the conversations that we're having, and how are we seeing that we can't go back and talk about a chocolate chip brownie all the time. We're sort of like, well, I don't know, it doesn't make sense, you know. You know, it's sort of, we're just in this other space. So can you share that? How we are now collectively starting to band together to find each other?
Yeah, again, we were talking earlier about the definition of self, and it was defined by our experiences. But the further we go down the rabbit hole of the soul and what it means to be this wonderful being of light, and that's what we are, beings of light, seeing that we exist multidimensionally, that we're having interactions with other entities within the moment of now, and a bit like Alice, that going down this rabbit hole might seem a bit confusing, but the further in we go, the more self disappears. And that's really quite challenging. But it gets to the point where it becomes not so much irrelevant. A lot of people who have guide contact see them as other entities, and I have always seen them as that. But to be told that they are extensions of us and we them, we know this grander universe. But in losing some of the self, you're actually able to vibrate at the vibration and experience them where they are. So it's a bit like body sharing. But it's not frightening. It's quite wonderful, to be perfectly honest.
Right. Well, you know, there's been that dogma talk that everybody says, we are a spiritual being here to have a human existence, and you need to ground yourself into the human existence. And it's sort of like, no, No, we are, you know, we may be a spiritual soul, we may be having a human existence, but we weren't here to learn everything about the human so we could fix something. We were truly here to experience it through to get to our next space. In other words, open ourselves up. You know, I think sometimes, you know, the spiritual people, they have many well-meaning thoughts. However, we're using it and defining it by the human existence that we have in the moment, and that's where we get messed up, you know?
We don't have to repeat things. And karma
right.
is not something that needs to be repeated.
Mm-hmm.
We can change the energies of what we've done or created, but most
yeah.
people see that as karma coming back. But we can actually step out of the repetition. Some of these gateways,
right.
some of these pathways just being changed, just no longer there. So, you know, I think karma is something that... perhaps shows us the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps that's not the right word, but that
right.
we can
it's what we ha-
step
right.
away
it's what we
from
have
it.
To use because we're still stuck here. Yeah, and
yes.
I think of it as it's almost that we still have to use certain words and certain thoughts and certain, like, hey, we still have to get up and put on clothes because, you know, that's what you're supposed to do, you know? Let's take it real simply. We still have to, quote, do some of these things because that's still part of our vibration. But it doesn't have to be that we're ingrained in that. Do you know what I mean? In other words, do we write down our checklist for the day, get up, put on shoes, drink a glass of water, do this, do this, do this, do this, so that you will be ingrained in that experience? We're saying just get up and be. Yeah, we need to put clothes on. Okay, well, it's not a big deal. But we don't have to do 1,000 things before the clock strikes six and say, now I've checked off, I did my human duties for today. We're kind of like we've now stepped off of that cliff, don't you think?
The shoulds and the shouldn'ts. These are programs. It's
yes.
society. It's the collective consciousness saying, this is what you should be doing as a human being.
Right.
Well, there's this wide varieties of shoulds and shouldn'ts, and even not
mm-hmm.
shouldn't. The oughts. I once heard it, someone give a dialogue on something, and they called it the hardening of the arteries.
Mm-hmm.
I think is probably very apt once we start forming ideas of conforming to what society wants from us.
Right, right. Yeah, I think but once you start to step out of that that movie scene, so to speak, that's when you don't go back to it. That's when you know you're in a different space. So collectively, we want to be able to start having these higher conversations like we'll be doing today, and we'll be doing twice a month going forward on live shows. And it's about being able to say, what's coming up for you? How do you feel today? What does it feel like? What are you seeing? What are you sensing? And through your eyes at the moment. Because sometimes when we say, I really don't know, that's a fantastic place to be because now you're in awareness of something new. You know,
yeah.
I don't know is the most spectacular place to be, right?
Absolutely. And it frees us as well.
Yeah.
Frees us from the expectation of who
mm-hmm.
we should be or what's coming.
Right.
And we can live more in the joy of the moment as it unfolds. And again, providing we're not fearing the forthcoming moment, providing we've gone beyond trusting, it just is. And seeing it as an isness, perhaps a different tone of phrase, it's... Yeah, just is.
It just is, yeah.
Yeah, how can you actually define it or describe it? It's trying to describe the indescribable and just get your pen twisted round and your tongue twisted round. You just cannot
right.
describe it.
Yeah, I think sometimes we, when you say can't describe it, that's when we say, oh, higher vibration today. And then I turn around, I look at my Schumanns, and I'll say, oh, yeah, it is high today. Kind of cool. It's good. I'm in a good place, you know. So I think, are we looking for a validation from the stuckness of our old ways, or can we start looking ahead? We could say, oh, my body's not feeling well today. what would I like to do differently, instead of reaching for, you know, the over-the-counter stuff or hurry up and run to the doctor because something, quote, must be wrong in fear. I think these are what we're also talking about in closing, is about how can we make these changes and these subtle shifts and change in our thoughts about our body, our mind, or our daily existence, right?
Absolutely, but doing it in a non-judgmental way, just seeing it, seeing them as experiences. What is it showing me? And what is it defining me as, good or bad? What is it showing?
But it can also just show, and that's called it just is. Sometimes people say, what is it showing me? I have to have an answer. Well, I got to put it down. I need to find someone to tell me what that meaning is. What is the message? You know, sometimes there isn't a message. Sometimes the message is just, you know what I mean? Or as they would say in other, what is it? They would say meditation, om, you know. That's all it means. That's it. It is. It doesn't have to have dot, dot, dot. Right.
And when we're seeking answers, it's incumbent upon us to think about the questions that we're asking. And it's the questions, if we think we have an answer, the answer that we get actually forms the next question. So life is a series of questions, or life is a series of answers. It depends on what you want to look at it as, but you can then step outside that as well, which is what we're talking about, that life isn't a series of questions and answers. Life is about love. And and love is indefinable. I don't think it can be defined in that way. I remember going to a lecture on one of the Andromedan biospheres. And we had a conversation with several people, or I did, with several people about love. And I said that on Earth we trade love. We expect love in return. We might do, if we don't get the love back that we want, we might create a circumstance where we punish the person in order to show that we're hurt, so that we then get love. And some of these entities found it incredible that we misuse love and that we don't understand it, its power and what it really is. That's just different ways of seeing what humanity can be.
You know, I had just posted today on social media, I had some red roses and they were just at the end of their cycle. And I posted, does love die? Where does it go? Perhaps it just changes and maybe there's more petals to experience. And that's truly what we're saying, yes?
Yes. I think it's like a rose that is constantly budding. So the petals shrink away, but new ones are constantly being formed.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps that's another image, that constant changing energies. So as the petals die back, they reform back into the stem and are reborn in another format, but it's the same energy acting itself in a different way.
Right. Well, it was such a pleasure to speak with you today, Robert. I hope a lot of our listeners were able to find something that would help them to be able to say, I don't know, and this is something that I can just listen to. And can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
Yes, I do have a free ebook. It's available on a website, roblomax.co.uk. I've got paintings on there, some drawings of other entities as I've seen them. By all means, have a good rummage around on the website. And I'd just like to say thank you for inviting me on, and to say that I think you get more out of a conversation when we're bouncing ping-ponging back, which is what you said earlier, rather than just trying to put over information, when it's more organic like this, I think you've done a good job of getting the best out of both of us.
Yes, we did a great job today, because I think it's truly about being able to, for others to be able to say, I can hear it, but I can't quite get it. And it's what we say is, take this show. You're not supposed to listen to it from beginning to end to be able to sit down and take notes. It's just put it on in the background. Something will pique your interest. Something will shift your consciousness. And maybe something you'll just say, I don't know. That's okay. Move on to the next one. And then 5 or 10 years from now, you'll say, I think I heard that someplace. Maybe you heard it here, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Seeding the airwaves.
Someone once told me, if you go to a big, long lecture and you just hear one thing in 5 minutes that makes a difference to you, then those hours of listening have been worthwhile.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here today, Robert, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you again. Goodbye.
If you'd like to find out more information about Robert Lomax, his link is on the bottom of today's show page, and you go directly to there to be able to go to his website. If you'd like a guided support session with me, Dr. Jeanette, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page. My website is also listed there. Robert's is www.roblomax.co.uk. My website is www.drjeanettegallagher.com. And it truly is about being able to say, I really don't know. Fantastic. Best place to be. Now you're on the point of being able to start looking around, saying, I'm just going to go out there and seek and see what I can find. So thank you so much for joining us today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us. We will be doing bi-monthly live shows, and I hope you join us again. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit www.drjeanettewellness.com to schedule a phone appointment today with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.